If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top-brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Yum. Yo, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive innit, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome to the bonus episode of The Wolf for Now.
Bonus, yeah.
Tom, we got a lot of positive feedback about us being positive last
time. Oh, wow, really? That's nice to hear.
So I think we should carry on doing that. Welcome to another incredible bonus episode. It's going to be so good. So
wowza, wowza. Monsieur Tatrazer.
Yeah. Wow, that's a hell of a start. should we get straight into some emails, Tomo?
Let's do it. I love emails. You know what I love more than emails? I love you, I love the listeners, and I just love breathing, brother.
Okay, that's great. Okay, so this is the first email. You really are on a nice vibe, aren't you?
Yeah, I've got a nice vibe.
Once again, apologies, guys. I'm having to record on the laptop mic because...
it sounds nice, man. Your voice sounds nice. There's a sort of nice reverb in the place. Oh, also, I like that colour on you. I like that T-shirt colour on you. It's nice.
Do you think so? Do you iron your T-shirts, Tom?
No.
How do you store them so they don't get all wrinkly?
I usually hang them up. Roll or hang. And also... Yeah, but then, yeah, sometimes before a show recently, I've noticed I'm going out on stage because I've had to have my sort of T-shirt in a bag for the first 10, 15 minutes before I start really, like, just sweating profusely, that I'm in a bit of a crinkled sort of, like,
T-shirt. I really don't like a crinkled T-shirt. This T-shirt's very crinkled. Anyway, I agree with you, listener. Poor start. Okay, this is from the left wrist llama.
Wow, the left wrist llama, is that an animal?
The left wrist llama, no. No, I think the email will clear this up.
Okay.
I was just wondering whether you wear your watch on the wrist that you use to wipe your bum. Growing up, I always wore watches on my right, but now I'm older, I find it gross to take my watch down to those depths. I'm a sit-down wiper. So I force myself to make the switch to wearing it on my left, retiring my watch to paper retrieval duty, so to speak. Which side do you lean towards? Love and best wishes, the left wrist llama. Tom? I don't know if we discussed this before. Are you a sit-down wiper?
I do both. I do both. For me, it's a bit like dinner. Well, like, you know, I'll start
sitting down. What a disgusting thing to say.
I'll start sitting down, right? Yeah. And then I'll usually progress this to sort of like, you know, actually it's more like, you know, like a car wash. Like, so I'll do the first bit when I'm sitting down, right? And then I'll sort of like, always sort of like, you know, like a two, three sheet, sort of like make sure when I'm standing up. Because that's the trouble is you're going to do a lot of walking and stuff. And actually, sometimes you can miss a bit here and there. I'll tell you this as well, right? This is something for you, by the way. I got caught out, yeah, like in our house, I got caught out in the worst scenario where we had people around. God, I can't believe I'm telling this. And I whizzed upstairs to go to the bathroom. Yeah. And there was no toilet paper in the said bathroom. And we keep our toilet paper in the downstairs toilet. So I had to come downstairs.
Oh, God.
It was so awful. And as I came down, one of the people around was like, you're right, and started chatting. And I couldn't, yeah. And then I'm like, right, yeah, cool.
Sort of had
like,
launch sequence been initiated?
Yeah, mate, yeah. Yeah, I'd finished the job. Like
you've done it?
Yeah, I'd literally run upstairs to go...
So you stood there having a chat with an unwiped arse?
There was like two little, I had two sheets left on the roll that was in my bathroom, right? So there were, it was like some of the fire had been put out, but yeah, there was still a blaze. Right. Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
of course. So, what a horrible, smelly blaze.
So I'm there standing, and the person just wouldn't go back. It like he would, like he was just having a conversation with me at the bottom of my stairs. And all I can think is, I need to get in there and get a fucking toilet roll.
Yeah,
I can't, you know. And he thinks I've already done the mission.
Yeah, yeah, that's horrific. I tend to only take a shit when I know I'm about to take a shower.
Really?
Yeah.
Because your legacy of like not shitting or pissing anywhere that's not your house has become.
Well,
I don't mind.
I'll piss anywhere, but shitting, I tend to only really want to do it at my house, which is tricky. Although I've done it for so long that my body now sort of knows that. I mean, if I'm at a hotel, I probably would.
I would say this as well, actually, about shitting out. I don't know if you have this situation. At my office, we have like unisex toilets now, right? Yeah. So they're like single toilets, but they're all unisex. So
yeah.
I find that really unnerving. Like, I don't mind if you're following me into the toilet after I've dropped a cable, right? Mm. But
I do.
No, but if I was to follow you in there, but I feel really bad if I come out of the bathroom and then there's a lady standing there. Like, I feel really like that she's.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I just
because you're not trying to attract. You're not trying to attract.
It's not an attractive thing. I just feel bad. Yeah. I was feeling like you've got to go in there now. And I know how bad it's. I've just left that.
Yeah. I don't have that situation because I would never shit in an office toilet.
Yeah, you know how bad it is to carry a shit around in your stomach? Really bad for you.
Well, I'm probably going to die early, but I'd rather live that life.
Because you've got toxins in you, and those toxins are.
Yeah, but to be clear, I'm not walking. I've now got to a stage now where my body is like, oh, you're out. Don't have a shit. Like, I don't.
Yeah, but the shit's still in you. It's like the shit's not disappearing. I guess so. The shit's then. So. And all those toxins. I read a thing the other day that 90% of headaches are from people who need shits.
Well, I don't get headaches. first of all, I'd say you've just made that up.
I've made the figure up, but a lot of headaches come from, like, if you feel sluggish and you feel a little bit down, that can be because you need a shit.
Yeah, okay.
Like, if you think about your stomach, right, is the bins. It's the refuse, right? If you let those bins fucking grow, all of a sudden you live in a dump hole.
Yeah, I get it, yeah. Yes, and I do live with the ongoing fear that shit will start coming out of my mouth where it's sort of the overflow. But thankfully, I've got a podcast to deliver that all on. But I don't ever feel like I'm not walking around desperate. I mean, the truth is, it has happened. I don't want you to think that if I really needed a shit, I wouldn't take one. I would, but it's rare, very rare.
How often, say a week or a month?
Not a week, no.
Really?
I would say I go months without shitting anywhere apart from my house.
Because I will.
Unless I'm traveling, do you know what I mean? I mean, I went to Africa for 3 weeks recently. I didn't think this is going to be an absolute nightmare. What the other thing that happened is I went to the Arctic for a travel show, and we were camping out on the ice, and the toilet was a toilet seat attached to a bin bag, and we were staying there for I think 2 nights or 3 nights, and I looked at that bin bag and I was like, I'm not shitting for the next 3 days.
I used to do that every day on the scaffold.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to file that amongst another load of things called things about Tom that don't surprise me. So the toilet was a bin bag.
I've told the story on here about the bin bag toilet with when I lived in the flat, have I?
It's just that. Just that. Yeah. That noise. No, thank you.
Yeah, it's pretty grim. It's pretty, yeah. But
anyway, in answer to your question, Lefris Lama, if anybody's disgusted, it's Lefris Lama's fault for taking
I was never going to go down this route.
But. Down this brown alley. But what I would say is I've always worn my watch on my left wrist, so it's never been.
I wear mine on my right, so that's a, yeah.
With your right?
I wipe with both hands.
What?
I wipe with both hands.
Not simultaneously?
No, not.
Is it that much of a job? The two arms?
No, I'll go with my right, and then my left's got the next piece. Like literally like Karate Kid, wax on, wax off type vibe.
Well, I'm hoping it's more wax off than wax on. My tip to you is once you've used a bit of tissue, just get rid of that. Thank you so much, Lefris Lama, for your email. Okay, next. I'm amazed that Lisa chose that email, by the way.
Yeah.
Not that it's a bad email, but...
No. But then Lisa, I think Lisa's got a cheeky little way about it when it comes to stuff like this.
This is from the Stammering Yeti.
Okay.
It says, hello, Wolf, Al, Swan and Cat. I've been lucky enough to meet Tom in a lift before his Chester warm-up gig. Really decent fella. Some prick and his wife got all giddy meeting Tom and knocked my drink all over my shirt. Anyway, just a quick question to ask if you think it's okay to attend stand-up on your own. Well, that's a roller coaster, that. Many thanks to Stammering Yeti.
I remember this chap. Yeah, he didn't. Okay. I don't think the knockoff of. I don't think they knocked the drink down him where it was in the lift, but I certainly remember this chap was very lovely. And then two other people got in and they were very drunk and they were very loud and sort of took over the whole lift, really. And I sort of felt a little bit for him as we departed the said lift. And also, I think it's a lovely thing to stand. I think it's a nice thing to stand. I think stand up is actually probably one of the own, an art form that you could go on your own. I think it's quite nice. I think there's a feeling in the room, hopefully, that people come together and laugh at a mutual thing. I think it's I don't think there's anyone we go to watch stand up on your own. What do you think?
I don't think it's a problem at all. Listen, since I became a comedian, I do loads of shit on my own that I didn't do before. So I used to find it mortifying to go to eat a meal on your own. I used to find it mortifying to go to the cinema on your own, go to a gig on your own. I would do all of those things now. Yeah. I've just got no problem.
I do those things, I always end up meeting people, like friends of sort of like, you know, strange country friend. I've never.
I don't do that.
You really don't?
No. You might have like a little chat with somebody. I'm not going to spend an evening with a stranger.
I'd say quite a big proportion of my Facebook friends are people that I've met when I've been on my own somewhere.
Gosh. Okay. it just sets all my anxiety off when you talk like this.
Yeah, no, that was a big TD that sort of like.
I can't even when I'm with friends, like even when I'm with you, who's one of my favourite people in the world. Sometimes there's a thought that occurs to me. It's like maybe Tom's getting fed up with me now.
Never, ever.
Well, that's very kind of you to say.
The people that I would have tattooed upon my body. Just because sometimes when I'm not near you or around you, I actually miss your energy.
Yeah, that's very nice.
I think I could literally drink you in every day and I'd never get bored of you.
Well, I feel the same about you. But the fact of the matter is my inner paranoia. Whenever I'm with anybody, Lisa, the kids, you, anyone, anybody that I love, even people that I love, I think to myself, have I outstayed my welcome here in this?
No.
So the idea of being with a stranger and being worried about not reading the cues to make an exit, it terrifies me. This is the difference
between me and you though, right?
Yeah.
Is I don't think you've ever done that because that runs through your head. I think I've done that on multiple occasions. I could tell you at least 5 occasions with people that we mutually know where I've definitely outstayed my welcome.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. One of them was...
How do you know?
Because one of them was a mutual friend of both, someone we both adore.
You want to say the name and we can be?
No, I won't say the name just in case, but had been through quite a sort of bad sort of point in their relationship and split up with someone. I met this person, bumped into them, so I ended up having a coffee with them, and then they met some other friends who had come round for sort of, you know, at the place we were in, and they were clearly, so I didn't realise the situation that they sort of like their relationship had come to an end. Yeah. And then the people who came were lovely and supportive and all of them were sitting around. And at that very time, I was hungry and I ordered a pizza. And no one around the table this awful could quite believe that I was ordering food because no one else had. I ordered some pizza and some chips. And then there was quite a deep conversation happening, which
what I would say is, regardless of the deep conversation, ordering food when nobody else is a big move.
Yeah,
and you didn't even order like some like edamame beans or something like that. You ordered a fucking pizza and chips.
Yeah, but people, they're too shareable. So you can have some pizza and anyway, then
how much of those things did you share?
Well, I offered them, but obviously no one wanted to eat because they were sort of having quite a deep conversation that at this point was, or even I felt so sad because
was the crying any kind of clue?
Or genuinely one, like you are joking, right? It actually got, and I felt really, really like this is how sad I felt because this is one of the people I adore most. This person is one of my favorite people, has always been incredible to me throughout my career. It's genuinely one of the loveliest people in the industry. And I then felt, oh my God, this is so sad to like this has happened to this amazing person. Even when the pizza came out, I didn't really feel like eating it. Right, but I still did. But yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
Because
yeah.
then I thought it's weirder if I sit here and not eat the yeah, pizza.
You can't order a pizza and just sit
and in all fairness to the person, because the person alongside being amazingly lovely and someone we both adore is also probably one of the funniest people we both know. So actually me ordering the pizza and chips became the joke around the table. One of their friends was genuinely quite disgusted about the fact that I did.
I would say it's difficult to look sympathetic when you've got a mouthful of pizza.
Yeah, and also I, you know, what's that? Oh man, it begins with N, that spicy stuff.
So, I really feel for you and you've got a stringy bit of cheese in your beard.
No, what's that stuff that begins with N? And it's like people put up pizzas. I can't pronounce it ever. It
begins with N?
Yeah, it's like a sort of like paste that you put on pizzas and food now.
Begins with N?
N. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like an Italian sort of pizza topping.
Not Parmesan.
We have to begin with N. I'm not that dyslexic.
Well, I don't... Okay, sorry.
Yo, that's it. Parmesan.
Yeah.
It's like a really, really spicy fucking...
Indusia.
Oh, yes, it. Indusia. So...
Okay, fine.
I'd never had Indusia before, right?
Right.
So this pizza I ordered had, like, Indusia on, right? Yeah. And it was so spicy. So then I'm sitting there sweating as well. It was like genuinely.
Why are you fucking adding shit to it?
No, because I'm like sitting there, and that was a moment.
Yeah, in the context of what's going on, I mean, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Mate, hold on. Just hold on to that anecdote about what they did. You've got an Indugium. I've never tried it before.
It was on the pizza.
It begins with N. Oh, it was already on the pizza. Okay,
fine. So. And genuinely, it was a moment we could see people looking like them going, oh, has he ordered food? How long is he going to be here for? And then I sort of, it was just a brutal situation.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it wasn't as bad as he thought. Well, look, thank
I've
you,
Stammering. I've never seen a person since. No.
thank you so much for your email, Stammering Yeti. The verdict from Tom and myself is it's absolutely more than okay to do that on your own.
Yeah,
so I hope.
And there are a lot of single tickets to many of my venues coming up. There's also
that is a big bugbear, isn't it? When people go, I want to come to your show, but there's only single tickets left, and you sort of think it's quite annoying, isn't it? I wish they would group together somehow. But anyway, okay, next email. Hi, Wolf and Al. This is from The Robin.
Okay. Batman's... Actually, the first Robin, I think, and it's like, that's Batman.
Yeah, I think it might be. Yeah. Have we had Batman?
We haven't had a Batman or Batman.
No. Hi, Wolf and Al. I was listening to this week's episode, thoroughly enjoyed as always, and heard the Spotify advert that you guys have recorded for 7Up, the one that we got some shit for being... In fact, I got a message on Instagram... saying your ad reads are so terrible, I'd rather listen to a crying baby.
Wow, Jesus!
Which I thought was quite harsh. Not that I don't like the sound of a crying baby, but I mean, I wouldn't choose to listen to it if I didn't have to. Do you know what I mean, I certainly wouldn't.
What's so wrong? I want to know what's so wrong with like the ad reads.
Saying that they're just dead was the word that they used. Dead ad reads.
Yeah, but then when we try to put a bit of energy in them, some people get annoyed with that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll be honest with you, I thought we were doing it in the style to which people knew us for. I mean, you know, like that's kind of, I thought it was all right, but obviously it's really upset this one person.
Well, you know what, next time we get an advert, we'll really fucking throw some sparkle on it for you.
Yeah, for you, yeah. I mean, I don't really want to reward that kind of criticism, but... But yeah, okay, we could do, I suppose. I was just into this week's episode. I just wondered if anyone else has noticed Tom's ASMR-ish tones in the advert. It's a real contrast to his usual voice. Perhaps if he ever needed to explore another avenue of work, he could consider being an ASMRist, artist. Do you know what ASMR is?
Yeah, I think I've seen it on. Is it when people like sort of make sounds with things?
Yeah, well, they go, I'm going to brush my teeth now, and then. They get really close to the microphone.
See, this is the problem, right? I've gone into a place when we're doing those adverts of trying to be like an advert guy.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. Like, maybe I should just be more myself. But then, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's oh, well, look, don't get any head about some it. Serious money from that ASMR, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they are, yeah. My question to you both, do either of you enjoy ASMR or something similar? I discovered it around 10 years ago and it's only little known, weird corner of YouTube. Quickly became unable to fall asleep without it, but it was a shame to tell anyone. I'm happy it's a less weird thing to talk about now. Thank you for all you do. From the Robin. So, in answer to your question, I did do ASMR about 8 years ago, 7 years ago. For I did a show in America, which you won't have seen because it flopped horribly.
What was it called?
It was called Just Another Immigrant.
I thought it was really good, that one. It's one of my favourite shows you've done.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't often say this, but I thought it was a really good show. But
yeah, that's one of my favourite things. What channel was it on Sky over here?
It was on Sky over here, but it was on Showtime in the US, in the United States of America. And in answer to your question is whether that was that my big break in the States? Well, I'm sitting in London now doing this podcast, so there you go. That's that question answered. But yeah, I did an ASMR. We had a go at ASMR with an ASMR artist. It was me and my uncle Rags. And we sort of like, we pretended to be doctors. And like we're examining the person watching him, sort of like, hello, I'm Dr. Romesh. I'm going to examine you now. I don't know why we insisted on whispering, but I think you've got to be quiet because you're quite close to the mic. And then we're like, I'm going to get my stethoscope.
So it's like you're commentating on what you're doing.
Yeah, and then we'd pick up instruments and stuff, and apparently the sound of us picking up the instruments was meant to be nice or whatever.
So hold up, is it a sexual thing, or is it like a...
That's what I thought, but no, it's not. It's just people like the noises, but it's not. I don't think it is sexual.
Because there's a guy on Instagram who I won't name, and he sort of he's tried everything. Like, he's one of those people who sort of like can't pick what his thing is. You know, one day he's doing cameos, the next day he's doing fucking songs, whatever. And he's tried that, and he's certainly very cumbersome when he's doing it. He'll like be eating something, or I saw him eat.
Yeah, eating is a thing. Yeah,
He was eating a really hot jacket potato the other day, and he was like that as he was doing it.
So it's weird because you're sounding quite disparaging about it, but at the same time, you seem to be really familiar with all of his work. So
I'm slightly obsessive, but there's yeah, I've never really got into it, I've got to say.
Right.
It's one of the few things that my YouTubing hasn't...
I think with your voice, you could do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there a lot of... You know what I got a message from the other day that actually meant a lot? There's someone saying about doing, like, the car map and doing, like, sleep stories. I was thinking...
Yeah, I think you'd be lovely at that. Do you want to just do a quick...
Just give me a little I listen seconds. To the Matthew McConaughey one. Wander on Calm all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's been about 3 episodes since you've mentioned him, so good. Yeah. Tell me, how was it?
I listen to it all the time. I've never got to the end of the story because his voice is so silky.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if I've talked about this, but there's Stephen Fry does this. There's this YouTube story about him doing a story about lavender. And you never make it to the end of that story.
I'd certainly have my Matthew McConaughey rather than Stephen Fry.
No, sure. I wasn't saying it was better. I'm just sort of saying it was another thing.
So, yeah. So, sleep story would be like, Ginny put herself into a place where she couldn't relax. She was at work and she was scared of maybe the night's sleep that she was worried about.
This is so... Where is this going?
Okay, let me try again another one because I went in with Ginny. I couldn't even. So, right. Trevor's favourite thing was his old tennis racket, Michael. Everywhere he went, he'd take Michael the tennis racket. See, Michael was more than a tennis racket. Michael was also a spaghetti sieve and also a guitar.
Tom, this is awful. It's awful. Your voice is fine, but now I'm thinking, what the fuck is this guy's life? It's got to have no intrigue in it, all right?
Really? The Matthew McConaughey one's really interesting.
No, but you've got to, like, you're trying to relax people. Now I'm going, oh, fucking hell, why is he using his tennis racket for that? Why is the tennis racket called Michael?
Okay, well, he's got no interesting bits in.
Not no interesting bits, but the detail's got to be sort of relaxing.
Okay.
You know, and you've got to go into the nearest amount of detail. So, like, if you're doing that, you go, his tennis racket was called Michael. He'd called it Michael.
After
a friend of his that he met at a party many years ago. They'd hit it off. They didn't know each other when they first arrived at the party.
Wow, your voice is good too. Maybe we should do Maybe we should do like a Wolfing Out sleep story special. Like we could release five of them.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. We should do that.
Yeah. So it could be something like, Mervyn Stutter was a silly old sod, cheeky and vibrant, yet careful and carefree. He wore his hair in a comb over because he'd started balding years before. And although his dank, greasy hair fell across his one ear, and people often laughed at him, he enjoyed the style. And matched with his big, thick, horn-rimmed glasses, it gave him an identification of being...
It gave him a name.
Gave him a learned appearance, which Mervyn liked.
Look, this is good. That's really good.
Set with a tweed jacket with big gold buttons that Mervyn had sewn on himself that he found from a button shop at an old flea market several years before, where he'd actually been looking for a new belt and some shoelaces. Mervyn often
there
wore...
There were suede patches on the elbow. The elbows had become worn away. Somebody else would have thrown away the jacket. But Mervyn enjoyed it so much, he wanted to preserve its lifespan.
We should definitely do this.
Yeah.
Mervyn often wore a tie, but he couldn't do a tie up, so it was in a half knot and swaggered somewhere around his nipples.
Yeah, there you go. It's good. It's good shit. I mean, I would say the word nipples is slightly arousing, but...
It can't be arousing at all.
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay.
As soon as you hear the word nipples, I think, you know, it's go time.
Yeah. Even Mervyn Stutter's nipples.
Yeah, any nipples.
Mervyn Stutter's nipples were covered in hair.
Okay. should we do one more email?
Let's do one more, right. Yeah.
Okay. This is from the Worried Walrus.
Okay.
And it says, Dear Wolf, Owl, Swan and Cat, I've been in my job for 10 years and I love it. I'm 35 and at a really good point in my life.
So he's 25 when he started his job.
Yeah, well done. Quick maths. I have two great kids, a wife I love very much, and I'm doing pretty well in work. However, in recent weeks, it's brought to my attention that my boss has been committing fraud. He's been paying a number of his staff over overtime hours without them actually doing the overtime. I'm not talking a couple of hours a week. I'm talking the last 2 years equaling thousands of pounds. After a brief add-up of the hours, it's around 20 grand.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. To make it worse, I'm a civil servant working for a government department. If this comes to light, there could be serious repercussions. Fucking hell. This is not the one to finish on, is it?
No, Jesus. And also, why are we the people he's coming in touch with?
I know. Here's my dilemma. My boss isn't actually a bad fella. He has a wife and kids, as does the member of staff who he's committing fraud with. I really don't want anyone to get hurt, but I also feel I can't sit on this information. Any advice would be amazing. Love everything you do, you sweet, sweet souls. Dear God. Tom?
Well, firstly, I need to say that any advice we give to you, I think you might have to sort the advice of someone who might be a bit more learned than me and Ross, who just spent the last 20 minutes.
That's also true for all of the advice we give, really.
But look, it's a very difficult thing because... As you say, these are people with kids and children and families, and you know you get on with these people clearly, and you know enjoy them. But what I will say is this: I think when it comes to something in question that you're talking about, where you know they're taking these sums of money and they're going to get away, they're getting away with it, as is the way when it comes to these sorts of fraudulent criminal. Well, it's number one, you're at some point always going to get caught because that is the nature of fraud and someone at some point is going to... And then it's, you know, it will pipe down to who knew and who didn't. And also what you find in these sorts of scenarios is that your boss and the other person who's involved in this will become probably more greedy the longer it goes on that they don't get caught. They'll keep chancing their arm and they'll push things because that's human nature. And it's very difficult to go, oh, actually, we'll keep a lid on this. Just, you know, we'll keep it exactly, as this, because in life something will come up where one of them might need more money or whatever. So it's a very, I suppose there's a school of thought that you could just speak to them and say, look, this is a situation, but then that could add a red flag and that could put you in jeopardy of put you in sort of a very, very awkward position with them. It's a really difficult one. I'd say up there with the most difficult emails, that because you seem like you're a decent person, you've got a family of your own and your principal priority always has to be your family and making sure that they are that they're going to be looked after and they're all right. So I'm genuinely a bit of a loss of what to do here.
First of all, can I just say thanks to the Swan for selecting this email. It's one that we're deeply, deeply, as you are with all emails, as I said, underqualified to answer. I can only tell you what I would do if I was in your situation, and that would be I would probably speak to them, speak to your boss or speak to the member of staff, depending on which one you know the best, and try and get this sorted out. But listen, fraud's a crime, so I don't want to endorse not reporting a crime. And if anything, I'm loath to give you any advice at all, to be honest with you. But look, what I would do, I would speak to the boss, if you know him.
Yeah.
And just say, look, this is something I've become aware of. But then when I say that to you, I think, oh, God, then I think about if this was a movie and maybe they'd find some way to frame you or something. I don't know. I don't know what the circumstances
are. I did that quite a lot when I started thinking about things as movies.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I've watched too many movies. Or like a Netflix documentary.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is don't listen to us. Maybe seek some advice elsewhere would be my... I know that feels weird for a podcast that asks people to ask for advice, but this is... Look, my instincts are speak to your boss, but my bigger instinct is speak to somebody that's actually...
a bit more qualified. And also just make sure that, you're okay.
Yeah.
You cover yourself. Yeah. Big love.
Okay. Well, good luck. Well, listen, that was a heavier end than we were anticipating. Guys, I hope you enjoyed the bonus episode of The Wolf and Owl.
Remember, there's still a few tickets left for the Hammersmith Apollo show.
I didn't know that. Okay.
There's a couple left, I think. Yeah, there's a few left.
Yeah.
So,
single seats.
Yeah.
But as you know, you can go on your own to these.
Yeah, things. Because you know what? You're not on your own. Never on your own when you come and see The Wolf and Owl. It's more than that.
Absolutely.
You're part of the pack.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely right, Tom. Sort of got a bit too eggy at the end there. But yes, I echo the sentiments. Take care of yourselves, guys.
And if you
guys,
are there on your own, just shout out, say, I'm coming to the event on my own and I need some friendship. And what we'll try and do is maybe sort of like have this sort of club that get together. And it's more than that. It's more than just being on your own because you'll have new friends.
Yeah. But none of that will happen. None of that will happen. But you will have a good time, hopefully. Okay, take care, guys.
Big love. See you soon. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.